Good morning. You're listening to KBBI AM 890 Homer. It's the Coffee Table. I'm your host, Renee Gross. Today we have two candidates running for City of Homer Mayor. My guests are David Lewis and Ken Kastner. Welcome to both of you, and thanks so much for joining me.
Good morning.
And to our listening audience, this is your time to ask questions to the mayor candidates. What do you want to know? We welcome your questions and your thoughts. Please give us a call at 907-235-7721 in the Homer area or toll-free 1-800-979-5224. You can also email us at info@kbbi.org. Let's just start by having the two of you introduce yourselves. David, why don't we start with you?
Okay. David Lewis. I've lived here since 89. I've been on the city council. I just, feel that I have a different vision for the city of Homer than Ken does.
And we'll get more into that, what that vision is. Ken?
I'm Ken Kastner, and we were joking about how longevity seems to translate into service stripes, but I came a little before Dave came here. I came up as a kid, and even at the first Corps of Engineer hearing where we testified, I said, I've lived here all my adult life, and I still say the same thing. I have a different hope and aspiration for where the city can go. Since we have a very divided city and we have a council that's going to be equally divided, it's the same council as we had last year.
And let's start with what the two of you see as the mayor's role. Ken, let's start with you.
Well, I see the mayor's role as being mayoral, as a person that represents the citizens, as a person that's there to do what is absolutely best for the city. And I'm not casting any aspirations on what Dave wants to do. But I think at this time, we need a person that can force the six policymakers that were elected as policymakers to work together and to come up with a game plan for the next year as to what's important to get done, and then to reach consensus on those items and get them done. So I'm coming as a person that has a lot of experience on various boards and commissions and committees where we've had to reach things by consensus, and it's taken a different skill set than just kind of powering through with a political vote.
David, what about you?
I see the mayor's role as, you are the ambassador of the city. You are the one who basically runs the meetings. And if you cannot get consensus, you are the one that breaks the tie. Definitely, there are times when the council splits and there are times when the council agrees on everything. But if you don't break the tie, then you have one side winning and one side losing. You have the same thing when you do break a tie, but there are certain things that have to get done. And if you don't break the tie, then that thing ends. That resolution or ordinance, it just goes away and would have to be brought back again at a later date.
And to respond to that, that would be exactly my point. The status quo is maintained. What existed before you walked into that meeting still exists. So nobody lost anything. We just didn't advance. We didn't retreat. We didn't advance. Nothing new has come out of it.
Ken, my question for you is, how will you make sure to get things done and that it's not... things don't evolve into constant stalemates?
Well, two things. First of all, let's just talk about human psychology. If they know that you're going to break a tie, then everybody is going to exert every amount of pressure that they can to lobby you. And I would think that on a Monday morning, people be lined up outside my door to talk to me about the topic du jour, the thing that's going to be at loggerheads. Secondly, if people know that there's no chance that I'm going to break a tie, there's no possible way that I'm going to cast a yay or nay vote, I'm just going to declare the motion to be failed. Then they start thinking about different strategies, and they start thinking about compromise, and they start thinking about working together. Otherwise, everybody is still going to be on the political win. I can win this thing if I can just convince this one guy that I'm right.
And David, do you want to respond to that? Or let me ask you kind of a different way. I mean, do you see also this issue of divisiveness in the council? And is that something you want to address? And if so, how?
Well, there is divisiveness or difference of opinions with the council. And I think that if people bring their arguments up, you know, you will get a consensus of at least four. You know, maybe not. And then you either vote yay or nay. And it is in the mayoral duties that they are supposed to break a tie, that they aren't just supposed to sit there and go, well, it's a stalemate and we'll just move on. And there are things that may come up that can't wait for the stalemate to be broken, and they need to be, it needs to be decided on now. There are other ones you can wait on, you know, that's possible. But usually, most of the time when you have a stalemate, it is on a resolution. It is not on the ordinances. Most of the ordinances either pass or fail on their own merits, and you don't need a tiebreaker on them.
And just to clarify, it says that the mayor may break a tie. Let's also address the question of proclamations. Ken, let's start with you. You've said in your statement that you don't agree with making proclamations. Can you talk about why that is?
Sure. But I'm really glad that we're having this opportunity to talk about it, because I don't even know where these things came from. And David can help us out here, because he was on the council during the evolution of proclamations. The first proclamation that I can find on the city's website was one that Beth made in December of 2015, and they suspended the rules in order for her to make it. And then in 2016 sometime, David proffered a resolution to establish that proclamations and recognitions would be placed on every agenda as a third item. And that resolution passed, I think it was 16-122. And then there's nothing in state law about proclamations. There's nothing in city code about proclamations. There's a line in the city council handbook that says that the mayor has to approve all proclamations, and it cites as its authority David's resolution, which only said where they would be on the agenda. I can't find any authority to even do proclamations. But having said that, I'm not going to do proclamations, because I think that they use up a lot of city council time. Everybody that has 3 minutes to speak is sitting there while they kind of go on and on and on, and they use up a lot of staff time. And they're, I suppose they serve a purpose in binding some groups into the city council process, but basically I can't discern between the innocuous and the pointed, and I'm just not going to go there.
You know, maybe I'm getting old, but I don't remember that resolution or making that. And I do know that proclamations or honors, you know, they've gone back, I think, even farther for honoring different individuals for things that they have done around town. You got Brother Isaiah Day each year, Mary Epperson Day. Some will be found offensive by some people, you know, that's fine. It's, you know, I don't feel that it's that big of a deal. The mayor, Brian, had definitely done more proclamations in his 2 years than I think I saw in the last 4 to 6 years. And a lot of times it goes along with whatever is happening nationally, you know, and then you have, you know, We're the city of Peonies now through a mayoral proclamation. You know, I find it innocuous. You know, I could go either way, but I don't see it as that big of a deal.
Would there be any issues that you would stray away, that you would not want to do proclamations on, or would you be open to doing proclamations on all sorts of issues and topics?
You know, if we go back, they had the proclamation on gay pride, and I felt that, you know, if you didn't like it, fine. When the proclamation's being read, you can get up and you can walk out and you can protest in that manner. Come back afterwards. You have made your statement, but you have not stopped the city doing its business. And when they canceled that meeting, I felt that that was wrong. If there were proclamations that people wanted and I didn't agree with them, I'd get up and walk out during the reading of the proclamation just to show my disapproval. But I would not stop the business of the city. Granted, we are a divided city, we're a divided country, we're a divided world right now. And, you know, until things change, and I don't know when it's going to happen, you know, that's just the world that we are living in.
Let's switch topics to discuss the city budget. I want to hear from both of you what ideas you have to better balance the budget. Since I started with Kim before, David, do you want to take that one first?
Sure. You know, when I first got on the council, they had passed the grocery tax, you know, exemption. So the city of Homer lost $1 million a year with that. And so the budget was cut. I think we have cut as much as we can without really impacting services. So we need to generate new revenue, but without taxing the people of Homer. I think that they have reached their basic limit with, we have the 3% sales tax from the borough. Ours is going to be 4.85 with the new police station added on. I really think if we could get with our congressional delegation, get with the rest of the borough and the people, and try and get it changed where we are collecting a sales tax on the flight scene business and the bear viewing, because right now there's an FAA rule that says no, we can't. And that's leaving about $300,000 to $400,000 lying on the table that we don't collect. You know, in the past they have been bringing up the bed tax, but that keeps getting voted down through heavy lobbying by the lodging industry. You know, and I feel that the people of the borough should be able to vote on that, or it's going to keep coming up. The schools need more money. The city could use the extra money that a bed tax would bring in, but it should be up to the people to decide on that.
So you would like to see a vote on the bed tax?
Yes.
And I guess, you know, like you mentioned, the idea of the bed tax has been brought up a lot with the borough and the city. Do you have sort of, but it hasn't gone through. Do you sort of have new ideas of how to make sure that it can go to the vote, or to convince city council members or borough assembly members to get it to the vote?
It just has to be people talking with their borough assembly members. And, you know, the lodging industry has a great lobbying group, and they have been able to shut it down. I have talked with people, and they go, what, we don't have a bed tax? And so it has to be a grassroots effort by the people of the borough to make sure that their assembly members vote to allow them to vote. The city, you know, we could pass a resolution requesting it, but we can't do it on our own unless we want to set up our own tax collecting entity, which would probably offset any possible gain.
Kim, what about you? What ideas do you have for better balancing the budget?
Well, It's hard to live in a world where deficit spending is the norm, and only in Alaska do we find that we have to pass balanced budgets. If we didn't pass balanced budgets, then we'd just be passing it on to future generations. But in some ways, we do pass some of these problems on to future generations. I'm really not going to get into policy issues because that's kind of my platform. I'm going to be in the center of things and try and guide the discussion. There is a topic that I would like them to take up again, and that has to do with the senior exemption. You can't take away something that someone already has, but I think that you could. What happens now is when you turn 65, if you paid, I don't know what the maximum amount is, like $1,500 to the city of Homer, you paid that this year, and then the next year you go to zero. I'd like to see that graduated out rather than just being the city gets this, the city gets nothing over 1 year. But as mayor, and again, you know, I'm trying to do something as mayor that nobody's ever tried. Nobody's ever tried to do the go from May to shall or shall to May as far as casting votes. And people don't think I can even resist that, but I will. The other thing, though, that the mayor can do is that the mayor in Homer has line item veto over the budget and can actually reduce amounts in the budget if he chooses. And I want to make sure that the city council creates clear policy and that those policies and only those policies get funded. I hate to create policy through budgets. And we have some of that. We have some budget items that create policy. You know, they say, why are we doing that? Because it's in the budget. I want to make sure that the budgetary process follows policy. So you set policy, you fund your policies, dot. So that I think is we'll look at it. If I'm elected mayor, we'll look at a little bit different type of budget process this year.
And I want to go back to what you were talking about with the mandate for senior exemptions. Changing that has also been something that's been met with a lot of resistance. The city council passed a resolution a few years ago asking the legislature to eliminate the mandate, and that didn't change. How do you see yourself convincing people to change that?
Well, that's what I was referring to when I say, you know, it's a deficit spending. The state is forcing us into passing these costs on to the next generation. If I stop paying sales tax, somebody's got to pick up that. If we stop paying, just what Dave's argument is, if we stop paying tax on food, now who's going to pay for it? And you only have a very set amount of sources to collect revenue. I think that the devil's in the details and that, you know, nobody really kind of thought this through. But it's a true, you know, as soon as you have something, you've earned it. And I did air quotes there on earned it. But you've earned it, and you can't take that away. It's like the PFD. You know, it's something now that you depend on, you're relying on, you've budgeted for and everything like that. But the future people haven't reach that benefit yet. And if they were feathered in, if they got a 10 or 15% break when they turn 65, and they got another 10 or 15% when they're 66, and on and on and on until they feather it out to where they're paying zero, the budget hit to the city would be really softened.
Let's talk a little bit more about what the two of you hope to achieve as mayor, what your biggest goals are. Ken, do you want to take that one first?
Well, I think a lot of it is just this general glumness that a lot of people feel about the heightened rhetoric and the must-win policies that we're seeing right now nationally and statewide and locally. And you know, this is a community that can do anything when they set their mind to it, and they have. You know, we have lots and lots of successes, and we have a few failures, But I think that when you set your mind to it and you come up with the right strategy, you can do anything. And so my aspiration, my aspiration is to get to that point where we just realize that working together is a lot easier than to have this constant us them 3-4 votes winning mentality. I want to get away from that and get into some more productive decision making.
David, what about you?
You know, I agree with Ken on the rhetoric, but I think that you know, people need to learn that you can have different point of views, you can have your discussions, but at the end of the day, you still should be able to get along and not take a lot of things personally. But for the city itself, you know, people have to work on that. But I see, you know, we need to improve as much as we can with the harbor and everything out there. You had the story earlier about the new study with the Corps of Engineers on the deep water harbor or large vessel harbor. And we need to start stressing, more of what we have here to try and become a four-season destination. You know, in the wintertime, if we have snow, you have the Caribou Hills State Recreation Area. You've got Lookout Mountains, cross-country ski trails that are some of the best in the state. We have the Kevin Bell Arena that brings in a number of people throughout the winter time. We have our winter kingfishery. We have now the Spark, which could be marketed for, you know, indoor soccer games in the winter time. But just trying to bring people down here for during all of the seasons, instead of just having the spit end on, you know, Labor Day. Because I drove out there Labor Day, and you look at the Heritage RV Park, and they had shut down at noon. It was like, okay, season's done, bye.
So what actions would you like to see taken to make sure that Homer is seen as a four-season destination?
Well, I see, you know, possible starting off links from the city website to these different organizations that have these activities going on. I see where the Chamber, you know, which gets 60,000, you know, a year, could be pushing these activities also, and word of mouth and, you know, Facebook and whatever else the younger people look at nowadays.
And Ken, are there other ways that, besides being a moderator as mayor, is there other ways you see yourself helping to lessen the divisiveness that you see in the town?
Well, the way to get past that is through becoming familiar with your neighbors and you know, developing some listening skills and then through some, you know, kind of soft education. And you know, a number of the issues that Dave wants to promote are issues that I probably agree with him on, but we still have, nobody wants to get rolled. And if you have the fear of getting rolled on a 4-3 vote, and I mean, there is this fear, and you can see what emanates from that fear, because when they do get rolled, you know, when somebody says, "I know better than you know," it was a process, and the process succeeded because it was a 4-3 vote. People really feel like they got rolled, and that evokes a different emotion than civic pride. So, I think a lot of it would be the attitude that I bring to the office.
Yeah, just to comment on what Ken said is, you know, when I was on the council, a lot of times I was on the three side of the four, and it just comes with the whole thing. You know, it just is part of it. And I didn't feel that it was that big of a deal. You either win or you lose, and then you move on. You know, you don't dwell.
What is it in both of your backgrounds that you think would make you well suited to negotiation and to getting people to come to a conclusion?
Do you want me to speak?
Yeah, go for it.
You know, I spent 21 years as a teacher. I spent 11 years working at the youth job training program at Ketchikan Bay campus, and I have had to deal with all sorts of people, get along with them, help them make decisions and give them choices and explain the choices. So, and my 9 years on the council. So, you know, that's what I think is my experience. Some people may think that the 9 years, you know, precludes that I probably shouldn't be a mayor, but, you know, everything comes down to the choices of the people.
Kim, what about you?
It's kind of my lot in life. I'd get on a board and I'd be very effective from the side of the table. And then pretty soon I get shoved to the front of the table. And when you're at the front of the table, all of a sudden it's about process and not policy. You're not promoting things. You're sitting there paying attention to process. And so I've become a very process oriented person. And, I guess I would just say that's become my thing that I do is I get involved in process, and even when I try and help with product, I just get pushed around to the front of the table.
I want to remind listeners that they can call in. You can reach us at 907-235-7721 in the Homer area, or toll free 1-800-979-5224. You can also email us at info@kbbi.org. Let's take a little break, and when we come back, we'll chat some more. You're listening to KBBI Homer, AM 890. Angie, welcome to the coffee table.
Thank you very much. I would like to thank Dave and Ken for their lifetime commitment to community service. We're lucky that we have such capable people running in leadership roles for our city. And the main reason I'm calling is to remind people that early voting has started and that people can begin voting today. And any workday between Monday and Friday, 8 to 5, at City Hall. So that way they don't have to wait until the 2nd, and we can actually have a great voter turnout, because voter turnout in the teens or in the 20s is just not acceptable. We need to show them how Homer really does it and get a strong voter turnout. Both of these candidates are excellent, and I encourage everybody to go to the polls.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Angie, for your call, and we really appreciate the reminder. And we should tell listeners, too, that if they have questions about voting or about other things that will be on the ballot, they can go to the City of Homer's website or to the borough's website to look more about what will be on the ballot on October 2nd. So thank you so much, Angie, for your call.
Yes, and just I forgot as well that you do not need to be a city resident to vote early at City Hall. You can be a borough resident, so you can cast your vote for the borough assembly as well early. So thanks very much. Really love the show. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
I think we both want people to go vote. It's such a gift to the American people that we have open and free voting. But this is the only contested election in the city of Homer. So, you know, without really having a contest for the council, some people might say, well, I don't need to go vote. But really, please vote.
And yes, this is the only contested race here. But you also have that all city residents will be voting on for the borough is the Ketchikan Silo school bond. So that is an important issue one way or the other. And to get out and vote for that, and, you know, just get out and vote.
So Before we go on talking about this upcoming election or the election that we're in now, I want to ask each of you to talk a little bit about what you've seen recently that the council has done that you've really appreciated or really thought that the council or mayor has done a good job on. And then I'll ask you also something that you feel like could have been improved. But let's start with something, anything that stands out to you recently that's been done on the local government that you've really appreciated. David, do you want to start with that one?
Yeah, there's a port of the trail behind or on the Ketchumak Heritage Land Trust property and the cooperation and the counseling with the Independent Living Center and making a universally accessible trail and making money available for that.
What about you?
Two things. First of all, I just really, really appreciate the craft and attitude that our city manager has brought to the job. She's doing a really fine job, and I really appreciate how she fits in with the council and has deference to the council and everything like that. I think she's a great manager. The second thing is I am really surprised at the quality of work that the HERC Task Force is doing. I guess I shouldn't be, but they recruited an all-star cast of very busy people to be on that task force, and they're opening boxes and looking in and checking all the corners on the bottom to find facts and figures that nobody's ever looked at before. And I'm very impressed with that, and I'm really looking forward to their reports as they move ahead.
What about things that you feel like could have been handled differently or that you would like to see differently moving forward?
I would have to stretch back when there was a 4-3 vote, and I know a lot of people were in favor of it. A lot of the citizens were, but it would be the extension of the Greatland Road. That had been not on any of the state transportation plans or anything like that. The original road was supposed to come out across from Bartlett, but council members wanted it, and the mayor broke the tie. They did not normally follow the exact way of doing it, because you, normally when you put a road in and you have private individuals living alongside, they are assessed, and they gave up that assessment. So basically the HART funds lost about $40,000 in assessments. They did not have a vote, because the residents along the extension part didn't want it. I know a lot of people think it's a great idea because trying to access the bypass on a busy time of the day is a royal pain, but you know, I had voted no on that, and I got overrided by the mayor and three other council members, which, you know, it's fine. We now have the Greatland Road when it's finished.
Well, another example of 4-3 votes. I'd go back to a 4-3 vote that involved the police station, because there was a task force at that time that spent a lot of time working, and it was a different solution than where we are now at the police station. But the mayor broke a vote which had to do with a lot of money. What happened in that is that we lost the support of half the council because of that 4-3 vote. And without the support of the full council, it really kind of doomed it at the polls and set the whole project back several years. I'm also disappointed, again, getting back to this thing about proclamations, I agree with Dave that it was disruptive to the point where it stopped the work of the city. It was handled poorly. I wish that we hadn't even created the scenario, though.
We've got a caller. Jill, welcome to Coffee Table. Jill? Can you hear us? Maybe having a little bit of technical difficulty. Want to stand by?
Hello?
Hi there. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Great. Welcome to the coffee table.
Thanks. Hey, I got a question about, well, Ken brought up the building of the cop shop. And my question is, how do the candidates feel about the city using taxpayer dollars to advertise their recommendation on how the people should vote? That happened on a cop shop bond. It's happened on other things, too. And then it seems to me that's kind of like an ingrown toenail in a way, that the city uses taxpayer dollars to tell the taxpayers how to vote, even to raise their taxes. So that's all I got to ask, and I'd be interested in the comments.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Henry.
Well, I actually think that they're prohibited from using the money to try and influence the vote. What they have set aside money is for an educational, and again, I'll use the air quotes around educational purposes, to try and educate the population as to why the city feels there's a need and why this was the best way to meet the need.
I agree with Ken.
Okay, there we have it. You know, in speaking about what the council does with buildings, and new buildings seems to be, an old building seems to be a big conversation recently. How would you go about approaching conversations the council has looking at what to do with older buildings, or what how to move forward on buildings that are no longer being used or have the difficulties?
You know, it depends on where the building is, what the building was used for, what it's possibly being used for now, and what the money situation is with the city for, you know, it costs money to tear something down, it costs money to renovate it, it costs money to put it into cold storage. So that's where, like, the HERC committee comes in, and there have been a number of, you know, uses over the years, like with the old HERC building. Ken's a big user of the gym with pickleball. And, you know, you've got all of these things, but, you know, basically with old buildings, it comes down to money, whether you're going to renovate them, whether you're going to tear them down, or what.
Well, a few people actually know how I earn my living, and I earn my living by doing cost estimates for architects on big public works projects, and about half of my work is in renovation. So I would just say, first of all, coming from New England many, many years ago, old buildings were repurposed all the time and found second lives and even third lives as new in new ways that continued to serve purposes for, you know, millennia. Some of the buildings are really, really old. It costs a lot to tear a building down. It costs way, way more to rebuild a building where that building is. And so I'm always a champion of trying to find a way to repurpose, because in the case of the HERC building, when we were looking at it for the police station, we were looking at $500 a square foot for new construction. We're looking for something for under $200 a square foot for remodeling in order to do some of the lower use items that the police station has, not the secure stuff. So it comes down to economics, and I'm the last person that wants to tear anything down until we really look at it closely.
And I know many on the council are waiting for the HERC task force to come back and to share the results with what they found, but do either of you have any hopes of what the HERC might be or what it might turn into?
I'm just going to have to say that, you know, I'm going to wait and see what the people come back with. I attended a brown bag luncheon with a few of the members one day, and they were trying to figure out uses for the building. I've heard that fireweed is interested in it, and maybe offices for nonprofits, but you've got to be careful there that you are not competing with the for-profit sector. So it'll be interesting, but, you know, that's a great gym that they have in that building, and losing that gym would be a crying shame.
How about you?
Along that line, we don't want to orphan anything that's an existing use, and you know, until something is in place to replace it. We had hoped that the Spark building may take some of the pressure off, but the selection of the flooring in the Spark kind of negated some of the things that could be done there. No, I agree. Let's wait and see. But I also am a big proponent of private-public partnerships, because when a private partner gets involved, all of a sudden they have some tax advantages that the city doesn't have, which equates to money.
I want to go into an issue that was brought up at the mayoral debate, the plastic bag ban. David, you had talked about wanting to bring that up again. Can you talk about why you think this is a good time to bring up the plastic bag ban again, and what may have changed?
Well, one, you have had Wasilla and Palmer ban the plastic bags, which I never thought would happen. Anchorage is doing it. You know, it's not going to solve the world plastic problem. It's not going to, you know, cure the ills with plastic, but I feel that it's just something we should be doing, as, you know, and we, you know, an eco-tourist town. It's something you could easily do. I know that a lot of people have a love affair with the plastic bag, and they, you know, they got the vote to change it the last time that we had instituted it. And, you know, I try and do what the bumper sticker says, is think globally and act locally. And so, but I think that, you know, when I was a council member, I said I would bring up any resolution or present any resolution or sponsor it that anyone brought me, whether I agreed with that resolution or not. You know, as mayor, I would pull back on that, and I feel that something like that, a council member should bring up.
And Ken, do you want to respond? I know that you're not running on policy, but, you know, your thoughts about a possible plastic bag ban.
Well, I guess my observation would be this was a topic that where the council got ahead of the voters, and really needed. Dave said at the mayoral discussion that night, we were the first at that time to promote this, and I thought we were a little bit ahead of the voters on it. And I'd also point out that Palmer and Wasilla have bed taxes, so there's other things that they do that we don't do.
All right, we've got a call. Nicole?
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the coffee table.
Hello. My question regards the use of a mayor's efforts and time in reaching out to state government agencies, particularly regarding environmental concerns. So part of the mayor's job is often heading down to Juneau as an advocate for interests of our city. So I'm wondering if the candidates can respond to, would you go to bat for us in Juneau or to various other government agencies to ask for support on projects or programs to help buffer our community against some of the effects of climate change or other environmental concerns as they manifest in our community? Thanks.
Thanks, Nicole. David, want to start with that?
Yes, I would have no problem with that, since we're maritime community, we are going to feel the effects of climate change a lot quicker, and you can see it just by looking across the bay at the glacier there, and more is exposed, a lot less snow, ash from the volcanoes a couple of years ago. So yes, I would have no qualms doing that.
And I would say that's a very, very cogent and excellent question. And I'd also say that as soon as the council gathers up 4 votes and the right resolutions behind it, I'd be happy to do that.
And let's finish off. We've just got about a couple of minutes left here. You know, one relatively new thing that the city may be doing is looking at making a mission statement for the city of Homer. What's something that you would think would be important to consider or include in the city of Homer's mission statement?
That we are open to all, you know, both business and individuals, and, you know, that Homer is a very welcoming place.
And what about you?
Well, it would be difficult not to write a mission statement that ties us to the place. And I think that a place says a lot about who we are, why we chose to be here. And I think that I would write a mission statement that made it sound like we were deserving of the place where we lived.
And let's end. I just want to hear from both of you why you think, to conclude, you're the best person for this job. So, Ken, do you want to start with you?
Well, I don't think is ever born to be mayor, but I am pledging to be the citizen's mayor. I really am serious about representing the citizenry in a way that they know that I'm down the middle, that we're listening to both sides, that we're not building arguments but building bridges, and that we're trying to come up and craft policy and budgets to meet those policies that best serve the people. I think that that's what we did when we created a city. We traded taxation for service, and it has to be a common sort of a thing, not an uncommon deal. So I'm into commonality and working together.
You know, I would have to say that right now, yes, the voters will have 2 excellent choices for mayor. We are different, but, you know, I think we both want to build the bridges, bring people together, make home or a great place to raise a family, you know. I think I would make a great ambassador for the city, either down in Juneau or as I have been. You know, I would like to rejuvenate our sister city, you know, relationship, because I think nowadays it is great to have cultural exchanges and to bring different cultures to gather, to get along with one another. And that's what I would try and do. And as mayor, I would be open to talk with anyone.
Great. Well, that's about all the time we have. I want to thank you both, Ken Kastner and David Lewis, for joining me today. You've been listening to KBBI Homer, AM 890.
And vote.